Okay, welcome back everybody from break. We are here with Board of Equalization hearing for, August 13th. The next case we're going to hear is appeal number 6811, Redwood ERC Ashburn LLC, which is at the Ashby Ponds property. The representative for Ashby Ponds is not going to attend, but has asked that we read the case. We don't necessarily read the case. We decide if we want to hear it or not, if the representative doesn't show up. But what I will do is we will swear in the core representatives and ask them to present the case as much or as little as you choose. And if board members have questions and stuff, and then we'll take a vote. So that said, let's see. So for the core representatives, if you can state your name and spell your name for the record.
It's Lindsay Schmidt, LYNDSEYSCHMIDT.
Julie Rivard, JULIERIVARD.
All right, thank you. And neither one of you is sworn in, right? Okay. So if you both raise your right hands. Do you swear that the evidence you shall give in this matter should be the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, so help you God?
Yes. I do.
I'll let the record show that the four representatives of the court have been sworn in. So, the floor is yours.
The property here, Redwood ERC Ashburn LLC, is also known as Ashby Ponds, is a very large, independent, I would say senior living complex that has independent living as well as some assisted living facilities. It has been under construction since 2008 and is starting to wrap up the final stages. I believe they just added potentially their last building. They have some unbuilt density that they could do another building, but we think that they're finally done. This is our fifth year here with the board for this property. The point of contention is that this is an income-producing property, and we value it as such. That has not been the argument, but more that there is an interest income line that they believe is not allowable income, and CORE does believe that it's allowable income. Over the years, they've provided financial statements with their operating revenue. And over the years, it has been called community loan receivable interest income, mortgage interest income, or just simply interest income. This year, it is completely gone from the income statement. However, it is in their financial disclosure. And the other piece that I found that's maybe different than previous years is that I did find a case from 2002, which I did reference in my, on page 5 of my thing, that talks about there was an appellate tax board case that heard the Willows at Westboro versus the Board of Assessors in Westboro, Massachusetts, and the board found that interest income is needed to, indeed necessary to impute a reasonable rate of interest on the deposits. When using the income capitalization methodology to estimate the value of the real estate associated with the enterprise. So, the other piece that we included this year was a disclosure statement, which I'm going to allow Julie to speak to.
In reviewing the disclosure statement, put together how each of the entities that includes Ashby Ponds, the community, and then Redwood ERC, the landowner, the disclosure statement was ultimately helpful and allowed us to understand that Ashby Ponds, the entity, exists to serve the residents of the Ashby Ponds community. The landowner, of course, Redwood ERC, enters into a master lease and use agreement with Ashby Ponds to operate that retirement community. Redwood ERC, the landowner, has also entered into an agreement to provide buildings, which they refer to as a working capital agreement, to Ashby Ponds, and a reciprocating agreement whereby initial entrance fees are paid to Ashby, that are paid by Ashby Ponds residents, are given to Redwood ERC. which they refer to as a community loan agreement. The Redwood ERC is a wholly owned subsidiary of Erickson Living Properties, LLC, which through a string of entities, both are ultimately owned by Redwood Capital Investments, which is an investment firm. The piece that we are contesting should be included. When they take the entrance fees, 90% are siphoned off and put into an investment account that Redwood ERC has sole control over. The residents that paid that entrance fee do not have control over their money, nor do they receive 90% of it back if they leave. Only 10% may be refunded to them.
No,
it's the other way around. Sorry.
It's the other way around.
It's the 90% is refundable, 10% is not, but no interest is refunded.
Yes. 90% is treated as a refundable deposit, and the 10% non-refundable portion, of all the interest fees, they're amortized over an 8-year period. So it's this portion that's then invested. They have control over that money. That is not refundable to the resident. And they use it for their own financial gain. They take it and invest it and grow that money and keep the investment money earned from it.
Okay. I was going to say, did you have any other things to say?
I'm okay. I'll answer questions.
Board member question, Mr. Schultzman.
So nothing has to do with the land. There's no contention on the land value. There's a contention on the improvements. And is that improvement contention 100% this income issue?
It is. If you look at my page 4, that one's hers. Mine's not right behind you, I believe.
We miss each other.
Or here, it's up here.
With the green?
What's
yes. Your page?
It's my year over year, this one here, the green. So, they only want to report the resident occupancy revenue. If you were to do, and I believe she did on one of her pages, she did a mock-up of what the value would be. It's based on $95,139,939. I have 93. It's because they didn't provide anything. I had made no. I had to estimate that. Actually, no, I brought that 93 off of last year's appeal. Everything with the stars, I had to estimate because they didn't provide it. And I estimated it using previous years. But the interest income is $30 million. And so, yeah, that would make a significant change in that. That building value.
Okay, so I'll just say I don't know, 5, 6, 7 years in a row they've been coming. Essentially, just their contention. Their business model is that they take that deposit and then turn around and invest it and make money off of it. So, as well as the fact that whatever they're getting from Ashby Ponds as far as the land lease and whatever they build into the construction. So, but their contention is that this is investment income. It's not from the operation of the property. Well, that's not true. That's their business model. You give us a bunch of money, we invest it, we make the investment income, and you're only going to get back, you're going to give it 90%, right?
90% return, 10% they keep, and then they keep all of the interest from that invested 90% that they're holding until you either pass away or leave and request that refund.
By the way, do you know what the average length of occupancy is for a resident? I don't know if that information.
6 years is what I saw I saw 6 years. I can't tell you where.
I think it's a little more. I think it's 7.5.
Okay.
Because they can wind up going to the assisted living or the,
they do have two assisted living.
Yeah, and the assisted living is included in that. I was looking to go.
The assisted
living was included in that, and I wonder why this is real estate as opposed to legal, because depending upon how they structured it, the 90% or the 100% payment that's made essentially, quote, buys you lifetime rent of that facility. So it's buying that facility. Meals are extra. Other things are extra beyond. So part of it is investment income, but part of it is actually cost of construction, maintain the building that's included in that. So that's the legal decision for them to make known to you.
Yeah, so it's been pretty much the same contention every year, and as you can see from the documents, every year the board has denied it. So, and just my reading is I don't really see, nothing's changed with their business model.
It's probably cheaper to pay real estate tax than just to pay the income tax.
I want to explain one thing. So one of the, on that sheet there, so if you look on the bottom where it says average resident occupancy revenue per unit by the 12 months, $4,155. But if you add in the interest to that, it makes their average monthly cost $6,199. So what I'm getting at here is that it makes, you need the interest income to make them equal to their peers. So as he's saying, it's a business model, but the income is still, it's just coming from a different perspective. Whether it's you're charging $6,200 a month or you're charging $4,200 a month and getting $2,000 in interest. So in order to make them equal to their peers, you need to include that interest income.
I think two things that might be worth pointing out. On page 2 of the core packet, the entrance fees are not a fee simple purchase of the property for ownership. It's a form of advanced rental payment. It's a prepay for a potential future benefit. And then down at the bottom of page 2, it does say in the Ashbupon's lease, section 7.1, regarding appreciation and new entrance deposits, it says that it is normally used by us, Ashbupon's, generally for capital repairs, improvements to benefit the community, and for any reserve funds. But we may use the entrance deposits for any other mission-related purpose. It also states that no interest shall be accrued or paid to you, the resident, on your entrance deposit. So they're very...
Okay, quick question. So you mean to say that the 10% is an income, it is not capital receipt?
The 10% is income.
Income.
But it's amortized over 8 years.
Okay.
So, and that's reflected on that sheet. It's a different line. The amortized...
Okay. So the 10% is collected over 8 years, you mean to say?
They realize that profit over 8 years on their...
Okay.
Yeah.
But they know pretty well that it will be amortized.
Yes.
Yeah. That's all.
Okay. I'm going to go ahead and make a motion.
Sure.
I move that the board affirm the CORE's assessment with no change.
I second.
Okay, so motion by... Easter, second by Mr. Tandale. Okay, any comments or questions from board members?
Call the question.
All righty, all those in favor of the motion, say
aye.
Five, say nine.
Aye.
Passes 4-0, unanimously, thank you. All right. The next case is going to be appeal number 6841, Northern Virginia Community Hospital, LLC. And we do have the change in representatives for the court, so we will swear them in, and then we will get started. Okay. All right, so... If the core, if you're ready, can you start by stating your name and for the record and spelling it?
Leslie Kelly, L-E-S-L-E-Y, Kelly, K-E-L-L-E-Y.
Heike Redden, H-E-I-K-E-R-E-D-D-E-N.
Okay. And if you raise your right hand, do you swear that the evidence you shall give in this matter should be the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, so help you God?
Yes.
All right. Let the records show that they've both been sworn in. So it's your floor, Cor.
This appeal is for the building value only. They are not appealing the land value. Essentially, the hospital is part of the Costa group. There are 7 properties in this group. And the major dispute here is how they depreciate and the level of depreciation. The county has applied a 5% physical depreciation, a 24% for economic depreciation, for a total indicated depreciation of 29%. Versus the appellant's 34% depreciation rate. We have accounted for economic obsolescence, physical depreciation, and the valuation for the 2025 assessed value. That's all.
Okay. Board, any comments or questions? Mr. Salzman?
You had 5% physical depreciation.
Yes.
And 24% economic depreciation.
Yes.
Okay. For a total of a 29% depreciation rate. Why do they think 34? Where did you come up with the 29?
Well, the 29 they came up with is 5% depreciation from the cost tables. So it's a Class A hospital. And
cost tables?
The Marshall Swift cost tables that the accountant also provided in their package. Tell you what page that is.
Marshall and Swift.
I believe it's page 21 of the appellant's package.
21 was the last page of their pet. Well, actually, I take that back. So it was after 21, I think. Or was it before? Oh, no, it's before.
It's on the screen, though.
On page 32. It'll look like this.
Oh, that one.
Oh. So
okay.
Page 32. So if you look at the depreciation table, for
depreciation work, commercial properties?
Yes. We have a 50-year economic life for a Class A hospital. It was built in 2015. We're using a depreciation of effective year of 9 years. So that would give us a depreciation of 5%. The appellant is using 8%, but I don't know where they got that from.
Yeah, I guess while board members are looking, I'd just say I think you're right. I mean, I'm an accountant, so I understand what depreciation means, but I can read this stuff and I read their case and. You know, it's the same as a lot of cases is people have their own opinions about things, but they don't really look at what the standards that you're using and argue this against the standards or as a standard as being something different. So, and I forget, they said something that I thought was like, so what? Oh, I remember. I think it was their cost approach or their income approach, whatever it was. Well, anyways, doesn't matter. Point is that, yeah, I think it makes sense. I think what he says is right.
I mean, these Marshall guys have a lot of control over everything.
It's an industry standard. So, yeah, and the other thing is, I guess I have a little concern when they think that their assessed value should have gone down by $5 million when it's a growing area. So,
in their narrative, they said that it's been underutilized, so they're just not happy with the amount of beds that are being used.
Well, we've accounted for the economic obsolescence of 24%
appreciation.
And I wouldn't argue with them because I've been there. You can usually get right in. Just FYI, you need a quick colonoscopy or something. Yeah, I know.
Teamwork, Kevin.
Is this all before right. or after you get accepted to Ashby Ponds?
I don't know. The way I've been voting, that they might not let me in.
You gotta be dying to get in.
But I'm well.
Okay, so board members, are there any further questions? Because otherwise, I'm willing to make a motion. All right, so I will move that the board affirm the Corps assessed value of $107,745,070.
I second the motion.
Okay, and seconded by Ms. Rubin. Any comments or questions? Okay. All those in favor of the motion as stated, raise your hand and say aye.
Aye.
That passes unanimously 4-0. Thank you, Corps.
Thank you.
And I will say, it was a pretty good write-up. I like that. It directly addressed the issues they were bringing up. So, hint to other people.
Mm-hmm.
That's very helpful.
They were talking. I'm not sure they heard the hint.
Well, it's recorded.
Well, they know.
All right, so this will be the last case. This is appeal number 6804. This is BDC Lansdowne LLC. They have requested that we have the hearing in their absence. So we will just have the Corps represented here. So can I ask each of you to state your name for the record and spell your name as well?
My name is Kyle Tarrant, K-Y-L-E. Tarrant, T-A-R-R-A, N as in Nancy, T.
All right.
My name is James Ritchie, J-A-M-E-S-R-I-T-C-H-I-E.
All right, and if you both raise your hand, do you swear that the evidence you shall give in this matter shall be the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, so help you God?
I do.
All right, let the record show, the two corps, and that has happened, sworn in. Again, the appellant will not be here, so I will just turn over the Corps to present whatever you would like to present.
Okay. So for this appeal is for Lansdowne Boulevard rezoning. It's a 9.22-acre property that was rezoned to R16. That was approved by the Board of Supervisors in December of 2023 for 120 units, 72 being townhouses and 48 being stacked condos. The value this year is the same as what it was for 2024. We have not made any value changes. They did have to say that there was some issues with Lansdowne Conservancy. We reached out to Lansdowne Conservancy and spoke with them. There is no issue with the property as far as moving forward. Everything is just comes down to some landscaping and architectural design.
All right. Thank you. Ms. Ritchie, I don't know if you want to, don't need to, but if you wanted to add anything. Okay. Did board members have a comments or questions? Okay. Well, I will make a comment. Just reading through the case, I'm not sure where the appellant is coming from, saying that that the highest and best use is not a proper way to assess its property. And just for the benefit of newer board members, highest and best use is an appropriate methodology to be used. You allot with data center property, or property that could be a data center, because that is the economic value. So, with that said, yeah, I personally just didn't see anything here that would change my view about the Corps' job. And I don't see how the property should have been reduced by 57.7%. Other than they want to save taxes. All right. Mr. Salzman.
So the R16 zoning took effect in 2024. It was done in 2023?
It was approved in December of 2023.
So it would take effect in 24.
Correct.
Right.
Okay. And in 24, the value went up to what it is now. So that reflected it. They didn't appeal the 2024 value?
There was an appeal for 2024.
There was an appeal?
There was an appeal for appeal, correct. And it was upheld.
Okay. Nope.
All right. Well, I'm going to make a motion. I move to affirm the Corps' assessment of land.
Second.
All right. So, motion. Second. Mr. Saltzman. Okay. Any comments or questions? All those in favor of the motion as stated, please raise your hand and say aye.
Aye.
And that passes 4-0. And that is the last case we're hearing. Board members, is there anything that needs to be said for the good of the board or the county or the world before we turn the recording off and adjourn the meeting?
Move we adjourn.
All right. There we go. This meeting is adjourned. Thank you.